The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Again, we officially welcome everybody to this podcast, to the YouTube broadcast, and the Facebook Live. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know below under the comment section if this is your first time joining us and where you're joining us from, because we'd like to hear from you. So tonight, I'm going to be discussing a devotional word I got today called Why We Should Not Put Off the Message of Salvation. Now, before we were cut off previously, I was talking about this a little bit. Many times we have conversations with people that we talk to in everyday life, whether it be in our workplace, whether it be with our family members, or any wherever we're witnessing to people in the harvest field of the gospel. Many times you will hear a response from them very similar to this. You'll hear many of them say, you know, you'll share the gospel with them and you'll invite them to accept the Lord, and they'll say something like, you know, I would do that, but I don't want to do that now, or I'm not ready to do that now. I'm not ready for that commitment. I'm not ready to, you know, to go to church. I'm not ready to completely give and surrender my life up to the Lord. One day I'm going to get right with God. One day I'm going to clean myself up, preacher, and I'm going to come into the church. You're going to see me come through those church doors. I may come on Christmas. I may come on Easter. I may come on a special occasion. And they will put off the message of the gospel. Now I'm going to explain to you tonight why that's very dangerous, especially in the times that we're in. In 2 Corinthians 6, now you can follow along with me if you would like, but I'm going to read the scripture. Most of this will be from the New King James, except for one verse I want to read from the King James. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2. I want to read this. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Now listen to this next part. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, there's a law in interpretation of scripture that anytime when you see a verse repeat itself twice, it means we need to really pay attention. And he says, behold, twice. Behold, now is the acceptable time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. And again, I want you to repeat this with me, because I want to get this in your spirit and in your heart and the severity of why this is important. Number one, he says, now is. Somebody say now is. It's kind of like faith. Hebrews says that faith is. Not faith was, not faith should be, but faith is. Behold, now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, now, right now, present tense, now is the accepted time. So when should we give our heart to the Lord? Right now. Right at that moment, when you're given the opportunity, you should say yes. You should surrender your life. You should repent of your sins. You should accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You should turn to Him. Now is the accepted time. Listen to this. Then he says, behold, now is. Somebody say, now is. Now is the day of salvation. Now, why is this important tonight? Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, and I believe when we read this, I'm going to show you and I'm going to prove to you in Scripture that as this thing gets closer and closer to coming to the end of the age, when we get closer to the end of the age, when we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get closer to the revealing of the Antichrist, when we get closer to what we read about in the book of Revelation, And I understand that there are going to be many brothers and sisters here that's going to have different theological perspectives or views on the timing of the tribulation and if and or whether or not they believe in what many believe is the rapture of the church. So we're not going to dispute whether you believe or whether you don't, or the timing of the rapture, or if there is no rapture, or if we're in the tribulation, or if we're about to go into the tribulation, because that is not the point in which we're focusing on tonight. What I want to emphasize tonight is the closer we get to the time of the end and this thing wrapping up, you're going to discover that the urgency and the importance of getting everybody in the ark, obviously this is a figurative, an analogy, okay? The urgency of getting people in the ark, getting people saved, getting people born again and under the blood of Jesus is going to be apparent. Paul told Timothy, he says, you need to know something, Timothy. In the last days, perilous times will come. How many believes we're in perilous times right now? Now, I understand generation after generation has had their perilous times. They've had their trials. They've had their errors. They've had their wars. They've had their conflicts. They've had their disasters. But again, I've emphasized this over and over again. Jesus compared these disasters as birth pangs and a woman giving travail and birth. And he said they will increase in not only intensity, but they will increase in magnitude and how many. The contractions will grow and they will be more intense. Now, here's the interesting part. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, speaking of the Antichrist, Daniel, the Lord revealed to the prophet Daniel that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that he will speak great words against the Most High. That's the Lord. And he shall, listen to this. Now, if you're reading this from the New King James, it'll say, and he shall persecute the saints. But in the King James, I like how it words it because it brings out the Hebrew understanding of this word. Let me read this. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. So he's going to speak out against the Lord God, but then he does something against the saints. And listen to what it says. He, speaking of the Antichrist, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he will think to change, or he will attempt to change, times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. What's they? Times and laws. And now many prophetic people overlook this. They will say, well, times and laws shall be given into his hands. But you know what else is going to be given into his hands? For a season. And now your Bible says in the Hebrew, time and times and dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. Okay. But it's not only going to be times and laws that'll be given into the hand of the Antichrist, but it's going to be the saints that are going to be present when the Antichrist is revealed. Now, again, depending on what side of the tracks you are, theologically speaking, if you believe we will go through the tribulation, then obviously that is going to indicate the saints there are the church. But if you are the mindset of a pre-tribulation rapture, then this word saints here is not referring to the church, but it's referring to those that will be left behind that go through the tribulation. So again, you guys can work that out on your own. I'm just telling you, the point is don't miss this. Ready? As we get closer to the time of the end, remember, and I didn't put this down. I should have put this down in the scripture or this scripture down. In the book of Revelation, it says that because he has but a short time, speaking of Satan, he comes down upon the earth with great wrath. Now what is he doing with that wrath? He is pouring out that wrath upon the saints, upon those who has been given unto his hand for a time and times and the dividing of time, or 3.5 years. So if you think that we've gone through some perilous times now, and you think it's crazy now, and you think it's dark now, and you think the political arena is chaos now, and you think we've got disasters like you've never seen, and you think there's unprecedented disasters like the Australian fires, and there's terrorism, and there's wars, and there's nation against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and you think all this is intense now, friends, you ain't seen nothing yet. Matthew 24, verse 12 says that lawlessness will abound. In other words, it will be prevalent. It will wax worse and worse. And he says the love of many will grow cold. Now, we always think that that alludes to the world. The world will grow cold. Well, God, friends, listen to me. He's not talking about the world here. I don't think he's talking about the world here, because the world has always been cold. The world has always been in darkness. The world has always been callous. The world is walking in blindness. You can read this in Corinthians. You can read this in Ephesians. We who once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, who once... we were blinded by Satan, the god of this world. We were all there at one time, until the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine into our hearts. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart here in Matthew 24:12 that he's talking about the love of the church, the love of saints, the love of Christians will grow cold. Listen, don't tell me that's not possible. Look around. Read social media posts. Look on YouTube. Look on Facebook. Look on Twitter. Go to some churches. Listen to what quote-unquote Christians say. Listen how they talk. Watch how they treat others. When somebody's out of church or they're not there, are they missed? Do they get a phone call? Do they get a visit? Does anybody care? Does anybody pray for them? Is anybody checking on them? I'm telling you, the love of many, and the crazy addiction to gadgets, to phones and tablets and social media, this is only exacerbating this. How, you say? Because it's severing and cutting all communication with people. Listen, we got a whole generation raising up that don't even know how to make physical communication with one another. The only thing they know how to do is text or email or some type of an electronic device to communicate with people, but they can't sit down with them face to face and have a conversation with them. And listen, if you look at people as not flesh and blood, or have a soul or a spirit or a beating heart, and you just look at them as another user, and as another player, as another somebody behind a keyboard, or another social media avatar or whatever, then listen, it doesn't take you long to figure out that the love of many will wax cold and grow cold. Mark 13 says that this thing is going to get so bad that brother will betray brother to death, and a father his own child. And children will rise up in their own home against their parents and cause them to even be put to death. Luke gives you another perspective on the same verse, scripture. And he says in Luke 21:16 that Christians will be betrayed even by their own parents and brothers, relatives and friends. And they, who's they? Parents, brothers, relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. Listen, your friends today may not be your friends tomorrow. See, oh, everybody is good and everybody's with you when everything is good, when the pressure's not on them. But what's going to happen when, what happens, what's going to happen when a kingdom begins to rise to power that will cause all great, rich and poor, free and bond, black and white and brown and yellow and tall and skin. Don't matter. No matter what ethnicity, no matter what race, he says all. What's going to happen when this system rises, this kingdom rises, and they will begin to control the populace and control what they buy, sell, and trade by putting a mark on their hand, on their right hand, or their forehead. Now you say, oh, now, Brother Ricky, I've got brothers and sisters that would never betray me. Really? You don't know my sister or my brother. Oh, my parents would never do that. Really? Listen, I can show you in the Bible and the Old Testament where they had famines that were so bad that they resorted to eat. They were literally resorted to eating donkey heads and dove dung. How'd you like a big heaping, steaming bowl of dove dung for dinner? And you say, well, that's absolutely disgusting, Brother Ricky. I can't believe you would even say that. Listen, it got so bad. The famine was so bad that they would eat this. And they were eating donkey heads. When the Romans invaded the temple, many of the Jews, when they begin to escape, they begin to swallow gold coins. And many of them were slaughtered to get the coins out of their stomach. There was famines that were so bad that the women were cooking their own children and eating them. They were cooking shoe leather and eating shoe leather. Don't tell me it's not possible. Again, it's easy for us to be in the comfort of our own home here on social media, have all these amenities, have all these luxuries on this side and say, oh, well, this would never happen. I would never do that until you're put in that predicament. I pray to God that we would, listen, you guys know this. Many of you guys who have been following our ministry for many years, you know where my stance is. Me personally, I've always been a pre-tribulation guy, and I pray that I'm right. Because if I am right, then I would hope and pray and believe that before it got that bad for my generation, or at least the generation that will be here to see that, we would escape all these things. But in the back of my, I can't help but to think in the back of my mind, there has always been generations that were not that, what's the word I'm looking for? They were not that benefited to do that. They were not able to do that. Look at the millions of Jews that were slaughtered during the Holocaust. They went through it. The Jews in the Babylonian invasion, the Roman invasion, and other wars. Okay? So again, this is why I always tell people, don't get hung up and set and dogmatic on one particular theology. You got to be prepared in your heart to go, and no matter what, be prepared in your heart. Listen, you got to be to a place where you say, you know what? I died on such and such date. For me, I died on June 2nd, 2000. That was the day I said yes to the Lord. And it was from that day forward, it was no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh through the faith is through the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the old me died on June 2nd, 2000. Yes, I'm still in the flesh. Yes, I'm still here. But come on, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And whether I go here or I go there or I go in the air, it doesn't really matter to me, because as long as I'm in him, that's all that matters to me. But I got to go on through this. 2 Timothy 3:12 through 14. Listen to this. Yes, Paul again talking to Timothy says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But listen to what he says. But evil men and imposters will grow worse, and they will grow worse. Somebody say they will grow worse. They will being deceived and deceiving. So again, this tells me that you're going to see deception like never before as we get closer to the time of the end. The closer to the end of the age, evil men and imposters are going to become more rampant. They're going to increase, and it's going to be on a greater scale than what we've even seen. Listen to this, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. It says, the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, that's who's going to empower him, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Friends, this is why, again, let me go back to the title of this. This is why we cannot wait to get saved. We cannot put off salvation. Notice it. Oh my gosh. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to read this again. When the Antichrist appears, he will be used by Satan. He will perform power, signs, and lying wonders, and perform unrighteous deception. Now, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to tell you what he says here. It said it'll be among those who are perishing, and God himself will allow strong delusion to sweep the globe, that those who refuse to accept the truth would believe the lie. God will allow them to go through that. Your Bible says that. I didn't make that up. Your Bible says that. And he said, well, Brother Ricky, how bad is it going to get? 2 Peter 2, 6 and 8. Peter tells us, he gives us he points to Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction of the cities of the plains, and he says that God turned them into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them examples to those afterward, that's us, who would live ungodly. Listen what it says about a man by the name of Lot who was there among them. It says, and God delivered righteous Lot who was oppressed. And the King James says vexed. He was vexed, or oppression, heaviness, by the filthy conduct of the wicked. It says, for that righteous man dwelled among them and tormented his righteous soul from day to day by what he saw and by what he heard when he lived among them. Again, and this, I believe this is a prophetic parallel or a prophetic picture that is telling a generation that before the coming of the Lord, things are going to get so bad here where we live. I don't think it's just going to be the United States of America either, guys. I believe it's going to go global. Oh, and you say, where do you have evidence for that? Genesis chapter 1. In the book of Genesis, when it talks about the flood of Noah, Jesus referred to the end times. He says, as it were in the days of who? Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. The Bible says that God was grieved by the wickedness of men. He says the whole earth had been corrupt and there was a remnant left. The whole earth, guys, the whole earth. I know. Now there's some, and I hate to say this, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but there's a lot of ignorance out there that actually teaches and believes that somehow the United States of America is exempt from this. And they're not. Trust me, the U.S. is not innocent. Their hands are filled with blood, filled with debauchery, filled with blasphemy, filled with abominations. We are one of the leading producers of some of the most vile filth that spread around the world. Now listen, I'm working on a message. I keep saying I'm gonna teach this, and I keep delaying it, and I don't know why I keep doing it. But I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. But I've got a message lined up, and I'm gonna do a message on how America could very well be Mystery Babylon of Revelation. Now, I know some of you don't want to accept that, and you don't want to believe that, but again, and I know a lot of you is going to agree with me, but I'm going to show you some shocking parallels of whoever this Mystery Babylon is and the profile of them and how it compares to America. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about before this thing wraps up, the whole earth is going to be so vile and filled with violence and filled with wickedness and filled with abominations and filled with immorality that the righteous that are among us, the righteous that are here and living through this, whether you get taken out, whether you go through it, whatever, while you're here, you're going to be vexed and oppressed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked and by the hearing and seeing of the lawless deeds. It's inevitable. It's a parallel. That is why, prophetically speaking, it's a cryptic prophecy that Peter wrote that in there. And he says, just as the Lord turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them to destruction, and made them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Guys, that's everyone who fits the bill, every nation. Now listen to this. Things are going to get so bad, and I'm going to close with this. Things are going to get so bad that even in the midst of the tribulation, men are not, listen, there'll be more, will there be people turning to the Lord? I believe so, yes. But there's going to be more that will, their hearts have become so wax cold, and they've hardened themselves to the point where, listen to this, in Revelation 16, 21, it says, and the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake has had not occurred since men were on the face of the earth. Think about that. How terrifying is that? And now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. So this earthquake that's coming in Revelation 16 is not yet happened, will be so tremendous that the nations of the earth, I'm sorry, the cities of the nations will fall. And it says, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So he's pouring out his wrath. And then every island fled away. Again, this is a result of this earthquake. And the mountains were not found. Mountains fell into the ocean. Tsunamis break forth. And great, think about all this happening. And great hail falls from heaven upon men. And each hailstone weighs about a talent. That's about 100 pounds. Imagine 100-pound hailstone falling out of heaven on the men. Now, how are men responding? You would think that they'd be falling on their knees in repentance, crying out to God. Come on, pleading for mercy, right? No. In verse 21, it says, and as a result of this, men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. So here they are in the midst of the wrath of God being poured out upon them. They're shaking their fist at heaven and blaspheming the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you something. How does an individual get to that point? Have you ever thought about that? How do you get to a point that your heart is so waxed hard that you're seeing, you're in the midst of an earthquake that's so great that the earth has not ever seen such a thing? Cities are falling down. Mountains are being swallowed up into the ocean. Islands are being moved out of its place. And 100-pound hailstones are falling down from heaven. How do you get to a place where your heart, you no longer shed a tear? You no longer cry out for mercy? You no longer cry out for repentance? But instead, you're shaking your fist at heaven and shaking your fist at God, and you're blasting blaspheming the God of heaven. I'm going to tell you how it is, because I'm telling you, friends, you can believe this preacher or not, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of people in the tribulation that had time after time and chance after chance to repent, chance after chance to turn to God. They had a chance to accept the gospel message through people like you and people like me and people like your pastor and people like this pastor and from ministries, from evangelists and prophets and teachers, but they said, no, tomorrow I'll do it. Another day I'll do it. One day I'll do it. I'll do it some other time. And that day never came. And because they put it off, their heart became calloused. Their heart became cold. The love of many became to wax worse and worse. And eventually you can get to a place, my friends, where it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says that your conscience can become seared with a hot iron. I don't know about you, my friends, but I do not. Oh God, please never let my heart become like that. Never let it get to that point. Never let my family get to the point. Never let my sons get to a place like that. Never let those and whom I love. I pray for those. Come on, we're going to pray right now. I feel the Holy Spirit moving upon this right now. Listen, if you're watching this broadcast by YouTube, by Facebook, listening by podcast, and you're not right with God, friends, now's the time. You need to, right where you're at, you need to repent. You need to turn to God. You need to confess your sins before Him. You need to ask Him to wash you and cleanse you. And maybe you knew God at one time, but you're away from Him. Friends, now I want to go back to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Behold, now is the accepted time. Right now. You right now, preacher? Yes, right now where you're at. Right in that office, right in that kitchen, pull the car over, right there in that car, right there in that living room, right where you're at. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Somebody needs to give their heart to the Lord right now. Somebody needs to cry out for God's mercy upon your family. And you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know the severity of things that I have done. And I should have been in jail. I should have been in prison. I've been in prison. I've been out of prison. I've been in drug rehabs. I've been in real rehabilitations. I've been in AA meetings. I've been in this. I've been in that. Listen, God is not intimidated by your sin. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and He died for us. He gave Himself for us. Come on, I want to show you a verse of scripture here real quick. Come on, just stay with me for just a second. I want to pull this up real quick. This is so powerful. Listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 2. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all, that's me too, my friend, all of us, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. In other words, we were all born under a death penalty, every one of us, because of what the first man, Adam, did. But I got good news for you, and that's verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love in which He loved us, that's you and me both, my friend. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. He's already paid the price. He already went to Calvary. He already died on the cross. He already shed the blood. He already said it's finished. Listen, by grace you've been saved and raised. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you say, how does He do it, preacher? I'm going to tell you how you do it. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. If you believe that with all your heart and confess that with your mouth, friends, and you shall be saved. It's by faith. You're saved by faith, by grace, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So I want to accept you. I want to challenge you to make that acceptance right now. I want to challenge you to do the most important thing you can do, and not delay it, not put it off, but today is the day of salvation. Again, I pray that many of you guys, let me pray. I pray that you made that decision. Now, I want to pray a different kind of prayer with you, because I trust that you, at that moment, you made your own hearts right with God. Some of you has fell away, you come back. Some of you maybe never accepted the Lord, you just accepted the Lord. Now I want to pray with you. Father, I thank you for those today who has made this decision. And I pray that you'd bless their decision. You would bless their endeavors. God, I'm asking that you, by the Holy Spirit, would lead them into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, doctrinally sound church. You would lead them to a pastor who will love them, bless them, and encourage them, strengthen them, equip them. He will have a heart for the sheep. He will be a shepherd after God's own heart. I pray, Father, that if they cannot find a church anywhere in their region, anywhere in their area, then I pray that, Father, that this ministry will be a continual source of edification to them and bless them and encourage them and help them grow and mature in the fullness of Christ in whom they've been called to be in. I pray a prayer of protection over them. I ask that you'd put a hedge over them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I bless their children, bless their families, bless their marriages, bless their finances. Lord, open doors for them. Grant favor to them. Lord, in Jesus' name, I declare that no harm, danger, any disabling accidents would come upon them. And I pray that they would live out the fullness of their days and that you would raise them up, God, to be a mighty testament of what the Lord has done in them and through them. And I pray that they would fulfill their purpose and their call all the days of their lives in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Friends, I hope that you've been blessed by this special podcast, this message here on YouTube and on Facebook. Listen, we want to encourage you, if you've not yet subscribed to our main website, you can do that right now at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys watching by Facebook Live, if you'll go right there underneath the description, you're going to see a place right there that's a link that leads you to our main website. There you can subscribe to push notifications for breaking news. You can subscribe to a daily digest in which you'll get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to see a place for our podcast, a place for our YouTube. You're going to be place where you can follow us. You guys can follow on Twitter, on Facebook. There's going to be all these places there. We have a Facebook prophecy group. It's called We Are Living in Revelation. We're partnered with a dear friend of mine. We want to welcome you to be a part of that group. You guys on podcast, again, if you'll just go over to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, you're going to see all that. Again, as always, we want to encourage you, if this ministry has been a continual source weekly of blessing, information, revelation, equipping, and edification to you and your family, and you would like, to give back, because all of our messages are free. All of our resources are free. There's nothing that's of cost of anybody. And if the Lord puts it on your heart and you'd like to partner with us on a monthly basis, or maybe you'd like to give a one-time gift or a one-time offering, whatever the case may be, we want to encourage you to be obedient to the Lord, and you can do that again on Facebook Live by clicking on that link and going to our main website. You guys listen by podcast, by YouTube. All that information is going to be at the end of this broadcast where you can also do that as well. So we love you guys. Again, I pray the Lord's blessing upon you and his protection upon you throughout this weekend. And we will be back on here next week, and we'll continue our teachings, We've got a revival series that we've kind of put on the back burner because we've had other things come up, and we're going to continue that. We've not forgotten that. We're going to continue that. It may take a little bit longer, but we'll get to it. We'll continue that. We may have some prophetic viewpoint segments come up depending on what goes on in the news over the weekend and coming into next week. So until we see again, God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.